Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Ellen O'Brien, and I'm here with this week's Storage Media Group podcast. It's where we talk about everything that's been happening in the storage industry and what our news reporters have been covering. I'm in studio with Fran Sales, one of our contributors. She's going to talk about this week's headlines.
Hey, Ellen, it's a pleasure to be here. We've got some interesting news to talk about in just a few minutes.
Okay, great. Well, we'll be back at you. But first, we want to talk with Dave Raffo, our senior news editor. We call him each week in his D.C. office. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you again.
Well, we're always glad to talk to you and get your insight. Lots of news this week. I want to lead with one of the product announcements. This one's out of Nexan. Dave, caught our attention because it looked like this multi-protocol storage platform that Nexan debuted actually was helping to renew the debate over what qualifies as unified storage. Do we have that right?
Yeah, I mean, Nexan, they did a couple of things here. One is Nexan traditionally had been a archiving vendor, mostly nearline storage. They started out with storage systems built on SATA, and then they went to nearline SAS. So they hadn't really been that big in primary storage. And then, late last year, they came out with a NAS system, and they added flash, which was new for them. They were one of the last vendors to really embrace flash because of the types of systems they had done before. So now they had taken that NAS architecture and they've added multi-protocol in a line of iSCSI for block. They do not have fiber channel, but they have iSCSI and NAS. So, I think when a vendor is late in an area, they always claim that they may be late, but they're doing it better than the people who have done it before them. So, what Nexan is saying is they are one of the few, even though many vendors offer multi-protocol, they're claiming they're one of the few who do true multi-protocol, which they define as, file systems for both, an interface for both, built into one chassis, one controller, and one interface to manage the file and block storage.
Okay, so all three of these unified storage system platforms can run iSCSI and NAS together. At least that's how I understand it. Or either of the protocols alone. So does that mean you can start out with iSCSI or NAS and then upgrade to the unified storage?
Yes. Now, that's common among unified systems that you don't always have to get all the protocols available. You can start out doing just one. So that's the case. Yeah, as you said, you could start with one and add the other one later on.
Okay, we'll be keeping an eye on that product launch and see how it does, and we'll be following up with you, I'm sure. And before I let you go, Dave, I do want to talk to you about the quarterly earnings that are coming in. A lot of the Q4 to 11 numbers are in for storage systems, storage vendors, and IDC says that basically, the bottom line is storage sales growth have slowed. It's down compared to last year. And what's the reasoning there?
Well, a couple of things. One is the year-ago numbers came at a time when, last year, the fourth quarter of 2010 was kind of a spike after things had been down. The industry was down, as all industries were, for a couple of years. And then at the end of last year, we saw some growth and things spiked. In a lot of cases, people were buying storage after, that they would have purchased earlier, but they didn't have money. So all of a sudden, at the end of the year, we often see what is known as a budget flush, where people will spend the money they have in their budget and the numbers will spike. Now, the spike this fourth quarter that just passed was not as much as the year before, and one reason for that is because it jumped up so much in the late 2010. Another reason is, some people are putting data in the cloud, and some cloud providers are buying storage arrays. So that doesn't necessarily mean that there are fewer storage arrays being sold, but other cloud providers are just, using large disk farms that are not network storage. So that cuts down a little bit on storage being sold.
And can I jump in there, Dave?
Sure.
That caught our attention because is the thinking on Wall Street or in the analyst world that that cloud storage and other technologies designed to make your storage more efficient, like deduplication, are those actually going to cut into storage vendor sales or storage growth numbers? You know, it's kind of a juxtaposition because this vendors have to get out there and talk about the benefits of cloud storage and the benefits of data reduction systems like or technologies like dedupe, and everybody's talking efficiency. And if it's something that's going to hurt their bottom line in the end, it wouldn't be in their best interest. It just sounded a little bit confused.
Well, you know, if you remember, even when dedupe started on the backup side, you know, the major vendors were among the last. You know, nobody's embracing a technology that, you know, if your job is to sell storage disk, you don't want to embrace the technology that prompts your customers to buy less disk. But, you know, once something catches on and people want it, they have no choice but to offer it because if they, you know, VMC doesn't sell you dedupe, somebody else will.
Right. Okay, and what about the Thailand floods? You and I have talked about them a couple of weeks in a row. The impact supposed to follow through 2012 at least. Did that have a show up in these numbers?
Not yet, IDC says. This quarter, when the numbers come out for the first quarter of 2012, there probably will be a pretty big effect. If you remember, the shortages really started catching up to people that very end of last year. Like, you know, I think it was December that EMC and other vendors sent out notes to their customers saying they were going to raise the prices, and they were being hit by it. You know, earlier in the quarter, you know, this was a quarter that began in October. You know, October, November really wasn't an issue yet. So we really haven't seen much of an effect of that yet. But we will probably throughout this year, and probably will be, the biggest effect will be in the first quarter of 2012, which we are still in.
Okay. Dave, thanks very much. We look forward to speaking with you each week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, Fran, I'm going to pass it over to you to tell us what was happening on other sites in the Storage Media Group this week. Take it away.
Thanks, guys. All right, kicking off our headlines, Search Storage UK reported on an events firm, the London-based company W&O Events Management, which implemented Virtual Sharp Software's reliable DR product for application-aware disaster recovery testing. Over at a Storage Soup blog, there's news about Windows Azure, Microsoft's cloud computing platform, and the leap year outage it experienced last week. Its cloud storage users were informed via Microsoft's blog that they were not affected by the downtime. And finally, check out the Search Data Backup site for the latest on Archaea software and Acronis' latest virtual server backup releases, which are aimed at SMBs. Archaea unveiled VM OneStep, its virtual appliance for VMware, and Acronis launched VM Protect 7, an upgrade to its agentless backup tool, which can be run as a virtual appliance or directly on a Windows server. Thanks again for listening to our headlines for this week. Be sure to listen in next week, and as always, you can find all the latest data storage news, trends, and analysis by checking out searchstorage.com, searchdatabackup.com, searchstorage.co.uk, and our Storage Soup blog at itknowledgeexchange.com.